Hi there, club members, and welcome to this week's Lunch and Learn. And this month of April is all about teams. So every Wednesday this month, we're going to be covering another aspect of teams and their impact on your dental practice success and how to finesse and fine-tune your systems and processes so each one of those areas is better able to achieve your practice goals. This first week of April for Teams Month, we're concentrating on hiring great staff. That recruitment process that is usually a little bit haphazard. We don't tend to put an enormous amount of thought behind the process that we use, and we go by gut instinct a lot of the time. It's getting more and more challenging nowadays. I keep hearing about how the pool of people that are available within the dental industry to fulfill roles is getting smaller and smaller, and it seems to be here to stay, which is quite unfortunate, but it's certainly something that we have to contend with. So hopefully this Lunch and Learn today is going to provide you an enormous amount of value and ideas on how you can tweak your recruitment process so you can start achieving much greater success in the type of applicants coming through to you and also that interview process so you end up with the winner, the one that's going to stay with you for a long, long time, making themselves and the rest of your team and practice ultra happy. Now let's get stuck straight into it. So let's have a talk about why your recruitment process needs to improve if you are struggling with some of the hiring of team members, because when we get it wrong, it ends up being quite painful for us all. First of all, it takes more time out of everyone's day to train somebody who's not completely on board or engaged with our practice. It can also disrupt the team harmony. They may not be as friendly and caring as they seemed in the interview. And when they come and start working, they might be a bit of a troublemaker, a bit of a stirrer. Maybe they're a little bit lazy. And there were things and characteristics that are part of them when they're working for you that you did not pick up on during the interview process. They can create interpersonal issues that take a lot of management time to resolve, maybe nitpicking at each other or just not jumping on board with how your team like to interact and care for your patients. They can have a detrimental effect on how your team perceives your abilities as a leader or a manager. If you are the one in charge of hiring somebody new and this new hire really falls way below what our standards are, then that can have a reflection on you as well. And also how you manage that person while they're struggling with their performance, and if you eventually have to manage them out of your practice, all of those things, the rest of your team are looking at you and they may be making judgments around how effective you are as a manager and as a leader. Can lead to other team members' performance suffering because they need to start compensating for the poor performance of the newcomer. And it can lead you on a long and complicated journey to move the badly performing newcomer and then hope that your next selection works out. And who knows if they are or not, because we'll likely use the very same process for the next set of candidates that we have rolling through to fulfill that role in the practice. If we flip it over though and think, okay, how much are we going to love getting it right? That newcomer is going to hit the ground running, avoiding any drop in production or efficiency. They are going to add a positive, high energy and happy element to your team. You can feel how wonderful this is. Bring the benefit of past experience and their skills development to use at your practice. It can boost team morale and the faith your team have in your practice leadership and management. And it removes the need of moving through the recruitment process again, as this newcomer is a keeper. So here are a few considerations that we'd like to move through, and there are quite a series of slides here, so I'll be moving through them quite quickly to try to keep this as tightly to the half an hour Lunch and Learn as possible. First of all, hire on character and attitude, not skill. Skills can be taught, but you are stuck with someone's character and attitude forever. So we often find it's going to be so much easier if we could just get someone trained in the skills that we need, because then they can fulfill that role and the responsibilities swiftly. However, those actual skills that they need, you really have a good think about how long it would take to train somebody who had a great character and a great attitude. You know what? It would not belong. And then you've got this great character and attitude with their new and developing skills forever. But if you just got those great skills at the very start, but they had a poor attitude and were a poor performer in other areas, that's going to be really hard to contend with over the long term. Another consideration is hire slow and fire fast. So the financial time, energy, and team culture costs of a bad hire are substantial. Take your time when hiring and remain positive and optimistic regardless of the amount of times it takes to find your ideal person. And I say that because I've spoken to some people that get a bit weather beaten and they now start looking for the bad and avoiding the bad in the candidates rather than maintaining that happy, positive mindset and expecting someone great to come through the doors. The world will be what you see. And if you can only see the worst in people, that's all you can see. But when you're trying to find the best candidate, you need to be looking for the best. So make sure you don't get too jaded in your approach. So gather and use your resources, such as temp agencies and other casual workers, to relieve the tendency to hire too quickly. Another consideration is, what environment are you offering? Just as if you were to get a series of candidates coming through for job interviews, you are vetting them of how well they'll fit with your organization. But so too, they are vetting you and how well your organization will fit with them and what they want out of their career. So think about your ideal candidate. Describe the type of person he or she is. Does your practice offer an attractive workplace for them? So this is a lovely opportunity for you to gather your team members together, do a bit of a brainstorm, really identify, who are we trying to attract here? Now, everyone, put yourselves in that mindset. What kind of environment would you find attractive to work in? And do we have that here? And if not, and we'd like to change it to be more like that, what can we do to do that? What you want and what you provide need to be in alignment for the candidate to be excited about the prospect of working with you. Conduct a meeting with your whole team, as I just said, and ask for frankness. What do they love about working at your practice, and what would they like to see managed better? Just as candidates needs to be employable, so too your dental practice needs to be workable. So this can be a lovely opportunity for you to do a little bit of a staff evaluation of how they feel about working there and use it as an opportunity for growth. Another consideration is, identify your avatar. So really, as I said before, identify exactly what's the person that we want to try to attract here to this practice, because we want someone that can fulfill all the responsibilities ideally, but also that brings enthusiasm, has a high energy, is an emotionally functional person, has a high EQ, that's an emotional quotient. So they are very aware of how to get the best out of themselves and how they can modify their responses to be appropriate given any environment. But they're also very aware of other people and how to get the best out of other people and cater messages so it's respectful and thoughtful. So they've got a high EQ. They have a great attitude. They show empathy towards patients and they're passionate about continual improvement in their skills and life. We want to have somebody with an open mindset. We want to have somebody that wants to continue to grow and improve, because ideally you've got a practice that's wanting to do the same. So have your avatar candidate firmly in your mind now when you draft your job wanted ad. So now we're moving into writing your job ad. So first of all, you want to grab their attention. And I want to go through each one of these more so in a moment. You want to engage them emotionally. So provide a hook they can put into your ad, an emotional hook. Excite them about a future with you. Make them really want your job. Provide specifics about the role. and identify skills and character requirements. Now let's go through these one at a time. So first of all, the job title. It's usually the words that job seekers are entering into a search engine to find a new job. Use industry known terms such as dental nurse, assistant, or receptionist, front desk coordinator. So avoid terms that are unique just to your practice because no one will be searching for those. And then that first one, grab their attention. The first line of the body of your message needs to grab their attention. Using terms such as dental assistant needed or we are hiring indicates that you are filling a position rather than selecting a personality type. So instead of those we are hiring kind of first liners, try something like, are you ready to progress? Do you want to make a difference? We need someone who loves what they do with a big heart. Are you on top of your game? Amazing, passionate team member needed. So you can see how those phrases are more of an attention grabber than just dental assistant needed. Second part is get that emotional attachment. You will love our practice if you thrive in an environment that supports your growth and learning, is passionate about fostering team harmony, encourages team ideas and input on how to be better, always searching for ways to improve our patients' experiences, sees every team member as an example of best practice, best culture. So you can start to describe how this candidate emotionally will feel working at your practice, and they're getting excited by this. So you're tapping into the things that make them want to work hard. So that's a great second element to your job ad. The third area, which is excite them about the future with you. Our team, we have a team of happy people. We have moms, single people, younger people and older people. We have all the same thing in common. We love where we work. And we do. We are excited at the opportunity to welcome another like-minded person to our group. So now this candidate can actually emotionally put themselves in the experience of working with your team. And they feel so welcoming. I would love that. Next section. Our patients. We are lucky in that we attract friendly, happy patients who enjoy the high level of customer service we offer. Our patients have been with us for years and have developed familiar, friendly relationships with us. They love to have a chat and have that social element to their interactions with us. We also have a steady flow of new patients who we intend to please and keep. And then what about the leadership? Our leader, Dr. Lindsay Harper, likes to create an environment that fosters growth and harmony. This means encouraging open communication, providing supportive direction, gives us full autonomy to achieve success in the execution of our duties and our responsibilities. You can see how this element to your job ad really helps people to feel what it's like to work in your environment. And so hopefully that will excite them about a future of working with you. Now let's go to number four. Provide specifics about the role. List in bullet form the broad responsibilities of the role. Don't get too minutiae about this. You don't want the 40 tasks they're going to get done in any given time. We want to be nice and broad with this. So it is crucial to include details about whether there is any crossover of responsibilities to other roles. For example, if your position of receptionist requires them to fill in as a dental assistant during busy times or vice versa. The nurse has to come out and answer the phone in busy times. This can be a deal breaker for some applicants. So it's best to weed out these people early so as not to waste their time or your time. So certainly if the dental assistant is also going to be helping others with steri, if the dental receptionist will need to duck out and do some steri, do clear that up at the very start. If you lose a great candidate because of that deal breaker, that's okay. They resent the fact that you brought them with one understanding and then things flipped and changed around when they started working with you. So you want to have that clarity. You don't want to start breaking down trust so early on in the relationship. And this is also why some applicants come to you jaded. very often they've been down that path of being promised the world and not delivered the world when they start working at this practice. And they start feeling a little bit let down by these sort of things. And so they can seem quite demanding in some of their interviews. They're not. They're just getting the clarity because some things are deal breakers for them and they don't want to waste their time or your time either. So they're trying to figure out these things early on in the piece. Number 5, identify skills and character requirements. The last section of your job ad will identify the specific characteristics you are looking for. Here is some inspiration that you can use. What about these words? Passionate, ambitious, dependable, reliable, professionally groomed, efficient, committed, humble, positive, self-motivated, inquisitive, determined, leadership qualities, empathetic, encouraging, supportive of others, self-motivated, hardworking, enthusiastic, exhibits team spirit, eager, flexible, adaptable, welcomes change, proactive, detail-oriented, autonomous, creative, honest, great communicator, strong work ethic, caring, kind, autonomous, nurturing, assertive, accommodating, meticulous, presentable, high energy, calming, confident, outgoing, happy, humorous, diplomatic, fair, problem solver, consistent, self-aware, strong social skills. So you'll be able to grab a handful of those characteristics that's going to make the most impact in your team and in the delivery of dental care to your patients. Use words that people can resonate with, and that also helps you to identify which person you're really trying to find. So writing your job ad, to add further impact, you can add a link to your website and Facebook page if they do accurately represent who you are. And I'm always a big fan of, on your website, use photos of your practice, your team. Otherwise they turn up, they're like, who are these people? Patients feel the same way. Where are the people I saw on the website? And if your Facebook page has a lot of birthday celebrations and lovely, caring, thoughtful posts, that's a great thing to include as well. Allow your candidates to do some research to better find out whether it's going to be a good fit for them. Maybe a graphic showing who you are. Seem a little bit fun. See this one below. She's a happy gal here. She knows her stuff and eager to learn, has high integrity, is honest and reliable, professionally groomed. So you can have this sort of graphic to better represent and have a bit more fun around, this is the person that we're looking for. And if people read around that and they go, yeah, tick, 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 this is cool, they'll be able to know whether they should go to the next step and send their resume in. Maybe post a picture of your happy team, your practice, and maybe even the chair, the empty chair that's waiting for them, just them, to come in and be employed and being part of your magnificent practice. You want this person to easily imagine themselves working in your practice. So this is what we're doing. We've written the job ad, and now we're going to enter into a recruitment funnel. And this is a great graphic that will really help highlight to you one of the reasons why several steps in your recruitment process is very handy in making sure what you end up with is the ideal candidate who ends up being your new team member. So your recruitment process is your funnel. Each step of your process filters out less than ideal candidates. The successful candidate is the one who still looks good after each step. So you can see all these candidates coming in the top, and then you'll receive their resumes. Only those resumes who you are keen on move to the next step, the telephone interview. We're going to be going through each of these steps very carefully. And only the ones that sound good on the telephone interview can go through to the next stage, which may be personality profiling. And only the ones that you are still happy with end up going through to the in-person interviews. And only the ones that you are still happy with, then you do all the reference checks. And then you end up with your superstar. So let's go through each of these 6 opportunities. As I mentioned before, the resume is point number 1. This is a 6-step process that we suggest for you. Step number 1, look at their resume. Only hang on to the ones that you really like. And then organize a telephone interview. And then the ones that you're really happy with, go on to an online personality profile. And those that you're still happy with, get an in-person interview. And the ones that are successful in their in-person interview, you do reference checks on them. And if you're still happy, final in-person interview. These are your six steps to your recruitment process that we suggest. Let's go through each one of those steps one by one. Number one, the resume. So what you're looking for are the years of experience, the loyalty to previous workplaces, keeping in mind if there's a couple of really short-term or one really short-term one that could be easily explained away of, I was promised the world at this job, they delivered nothing, so I quit. And that's reasonable. However, if you've got several jobs which lasted between 6 months and a year, that might be a concern. Skills developed to date, that will let you know whether they can hit the ground running when they start or whether they need some element of training. Whether they've done any charity work, it's a lovely characteristic in somebody if they're willing to work for payment other than money, just because it feels good, just because they saw a need, just because it's part of who they are. Charity work always gets a big tick on resumes. Another big tick item is team involvement. You're looking for somebody who's going to be very good at working as part of a team. They're not insular, solo sort of people. They feed off other people rather than being more of an introvert. And so team involvement is indicated that they've been part of sporting organisations in the past, maybe musical groups. Even better if they've been the captain of that team, a leader within a certain organisation. That is tremendous because that's showing even better people management qualities. Next is it must have a list of references. You need to be able to call people that they've worked with in the past to cross-check some information. And we're going to go through references more later on. But we want to get references. Even if they say references upon a request, that's fine. But we want to make sure that there's going to be references there that we at some stage can contact. And hobbies. It's always great to have a well-rounded individual that likes to do more than just sit around watching telly or Facebook on a weekend. Second step is the telephone interview. I always have done telephone interviews because they are a lovely indicator of whether they are actually even going to move forward to an in-person interview. And if you just went straight for in-person interviews straight away, you'd be wasting a lot of your time and a lot of their time as well. It takes a lot of effort and time to have an in-person interview. And if within the first 5 minutes you think to yourself, gosh, the way this person speaks, it's so ochre, it's not going to fit in with our high level aesthetic practice here, I could have figured this out just over the telephone. And so telephone interviews are a must. And so telephone interviews are a great idea. Number one, it's usually for around 30 minutes. You don't want it to be a short 10-minute thing. You want to have a nice extended telephone call to find out how that person communicates. And the way you do that is just ask the question, tell us about your career so far, and just let them speak. Can they string sentences together? Do they speak well? Are they speaking way too quickly? When you interject, do they stop and listen to what you have to say? Are they effective in their rapport building and their friendliness over the phone? Are they actually trying to get along well with you over the phone? Sometimes people can sound quite harsh on the phone, and you want someone that is a very natural relationship builder to be part of your team and part of those people who are going to be seeing your precious patients. Are they an effective listener, or do they interrupt you all the time? What is their speaking style? Is it aligned with the kind of practice image that you are trying to portray? And do they have questions for you? Always ask that question. Like, you go through all of the bits and pieces that you're talking about, but they say, do you have any questions about us? And provide that open opportunity for them to raise anything that's going to be relevant for them. Now, this is one I do suggest you do. Money can be a difficult subject to talk about, but only usually in our own brain. At some point, we're going to be talking about it. That's the only way we can offer a job and for them to be able to accept it as well. And this is another opportunity to stop time wasting on both sides. If you are a practice that you're going to be paid pretty much award rate or just a little bit over, and we never go too much higher than that, and you've got a great candidate over the phone that up till now, up to 0.6, sounds fantastic. You get them in for a job interview, they sit around, you talk for another half hour, and then finally the topic comes up about wage, and you say, we pay $24 an hour, and they say, you're crazy, I demand $30 an hour. You didn't have to waste everyone's time. You can find this stuff out at the very start. Because of the fact that you're usually not going to be able to say, this is the dollar amount that we're going to pay you, because it's going to depend on how many years experience they've had, how well they're going to go through and manage all of their responsibilities. Maybe they've got a whole bunch of other responsibilities that they're going to be able to manage for your practice as well, so they get paid a little bit more. You're just not going to know, but you are going to know a range. And the range is, what's the least amount of money you would like to get away with paying someone to do that role? And what's the most you are ever willing to pay for a great performer? Get that range clear in your head and then ask them the same. Ask the question, what is the least you are willing to accept per hour to fulfill this role at this practice? And what's the most you'd like to earn in this role? And that's tremendous. That can weed out a whole bunch of people. And it can help identify, yep, we're all still on the same page, let's move forward. So this applicant might say, the least I'm willing to accept for this dental assisting role is $29 an hour. The most that I would like to achieve, though, is $33 an hour. Well, let's keep the communication going, because it falls in line with our range as well. Number three, personality profiling. It's getting more and more popular nowadays because we're trying to avoid bringing into our practice characteristics that are unhelpful for team performance and patient care. There are all sorts of different personality profiling systems that people can take online in about 10 minutes and they're free. So do a search. A few of them are there. DISC, Myers-Briggs, Predictive Index, Situational Judgment Test, and they all look for slightly different things. On the right hand there, I've got the picture of the DISC and the sort of things that come up. And so you're looking for strengths for particular roles. And it's handy to do because some roles require some characteristics and other roles require other traits. So a dental assistant needs to be very caring and empathetic, detail-oriented. With their sterilization, they need to be very particular. And one of the things that really satisfies their workday is ticking off everything off that list, doing everything exactly the way it's supposed to be done. Whereas if you're looking for a practice manager, you want somebody who's also has a leadership quality to them. They've got high EQ, and so they've got an ability to be able to tap in and motivate a whole range of different personality types. That they really do try to achieve better and better and better results all the time. So some of these personality profiling, if you've identified what's the characteristic type, the personality type that we need for this particular role here, then you can start recognizing which personality profile to use, which tool to use, and this can be an additional filter to put people through that at the end of it, you've still got these ideal candidates that are progressing to the next step of your recruitment process. So the fourth step of your recruitment process, if they've been successful to date, is the in-person interview. So this one's going to be up to an hour. You want to get an effective discussion with people at the in-person interview. You don't want to rush these things at all. You're looking for their personal presentation, number one. This is the first opportunity you've had to actually see them up close and personal. You have got a particular image you're trying to portray to your patients and to the outside world. And you need to make sure that the personal presentation of this person is going to be aligned with that. Do they have to have self-confidence if their role is going to be a manager, a receptionist, a patient coordinator? They absolutely need to display strong self-confidence. But even if they're a dental nurse and having less of that one-on-one interaction, are they a dental nurse, a steri nurse? It doesn't matter what the role is. If somebody is very low in self-confidence, they won't want to learn anything new. They'll be very resistant to change. They'll just want to just leave me alone in my space. I just know how to do this and I'm comfortable here. However, if they are self-confident and self-assured, then they're going to be on that journey of continual and never-ending improvement that, as I say, hopefully your practice is on, and they can join the rest of your team members in that space. They'll have the confidence to tackle something new, the confidence to, I might fall and falter, I might make mistakes, but that's okay. I've got faith in my own abilities. I'll get better and better all the time. And that's the kind of personality anybody wants, surely. During the in-person interview, you can move through the JPPS Hire Guide. This is an exciting guide that's going to really help you in that in-person interview process, and I'll be showing you that in just a moment. So now we're going to pause the PowerPoint presentation before we get to point number 5, and I'm going to take you through the JPPS Hire Guide. Let's have a look. Now, this is made up in Excel, and it's going to be an attachment that you can download and utilize yourself. It's not going to be locked, so you can change the information and the questions as you see fit. Now, here is how it's displayed. So I've got a series of practice expectations and then candidate strengths and weaknesses on the left-hand side. And then I've got 3 columns here that they are yet to indicate evidence of this particular characteristic or expectation. It is clearly evident that they have this, or they've actually developed mastery in that space. They're at a level which is beyond what would be normally expected, and they could teach others how it's done because they're so awesome at it. Next column here is the step of the process, and so we're moving through those steps of the process now. And to remind you, it's those 6 opportunities to gather data. Are we to address this particular area and find evidence of it during the resume, the telephone interview, the online personality profile, the in-person interview, the reference checks, or the final in-person interview? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is what we've got listed down here. And then I've got some hints around gaining that insight on the side here. So for example, the clarification of practice expectations of the job description itself. So you print out all of the responsibilities that this candidate will need to perform when they start working with you. It's step 4 of the process, so this would normally be done at the in-person interview. You've given a broad range in your job ad, but this is where we're getting really specific. This is exactly the things that we need you to get done throughout your working days here. Then here, ask the candidate to assess the list of responsibilities and then ask, have you had experience in administering these tasks in your previous workplaces? Do you feel confident in each one of these tasks? Are there any areas that you would need training in? If they said to you, I've been doing that stuff for the past year, you can put a tick in evident, because they are providing evidence that they have got those skills. If, for example, they said, I've been doing those skills for the past 10 years, then it's more likely your tick will be in mastery, because they've been doing it for such a long time. The next element of practice expectations could be appearance. So are they professional? Have they got their tattoos covered if they have any? Unconventional piercings, are they removed? Personal hygiene and neatness. And then again, this is a step 4 of the process, the in-person interview. So during the in-person interview, assess their personal presentation. And if it is in line with the image of your practice wishes to portray, describe your practice appearance policy if you have one. I will attach the JPPS appearance policy to this lesson so you can actually download that and use it for yourself if you like. Tell the candidate about that and ask whether they are comfortable working within these guidelines. It is a very difficult discussion to have, that you finally hired somebody and all of a sudden they turn up with a nose ring that was never evident beforehand, and it's not in line with what your image is as a practice, and then you have to have that discussion. Or they had very tasteful professional nails during the job interview, but then they turned up and they were 3 times as long and had all sorts of bling on them, and then you have to have that difficult discussion. That's not what we like here. We need that to be modified and changed. So to make sure that you are being as clear as possible around your practice expectations of this person, move through the list, add to this list if there are additional elements that are important to you, and then have them something that you do tick off during your recruitment process. Moving down to the strengths and characteristics. A willingness to learn. For example, a willingness to learn will be determined in number 3 step of the process, which is personality profiling. Also number 4, the in-person interview, you can ask them, are you excited about learning new things, new skills, developing the skills that you already have? Does it excite you? But then also you'll be cross-checking them with the reference that you bring up later on. Did they show a willingness to learn while they were working in your practice? Next one down. Effective communicator. That is determined in the telephone interview and the in-person interview. So during interviews, are they a good listener? Are they well-spoken? Let's move down to another one. Caring, empathetic nature. That can be determined. If I asked any candidate, are you caring and do you have an empathetic nature? Everyone's going to say, yes. Is it true? Who knows? You know who does know? Their previous employer. That can also be checked with their references and track record at other locations. So print up one of these for each of your candidates. And as they move through your recruitment process, put your ticks in the relevant boxes. And this information will help you in determining who progresses to the next hiring step, the next part of your funnel, that at the end of that funnel journey, you're going to have your ideal candidate. The next worksheet within this document, this Excel document, are some interview questions that you can ask during the first in-person interview that's really going to help you determine what kind of character is this in front of us right now. So we've got the questions on the side, 15 of them, and we've got the response here. So you can again print this out for each of your candidates. During the in-person interview, it's difficult to write down a whole bunch of notes, but what you can do is that it left you with a positive feeling about this person, a neutral feeling about this person, or indeed a negative feeling about this person, depending upon what their responses were. So why ask the question, why does this position appeal to you? If they say, oh, it's close to my home, yeah, okay. That could be anywhere there. It doesn't have to be us. It could be anywhere. That could develop a neutral response. If they say, because it's anywhere but my last workplace, oh, that's negative. However, if they said, because I read your job ad and it truly excited me, I want to be part of this team. You go, that's real positive. We're going to give you a tick on the positive side for that one. And here are the rest of the questions. What was the reason you left your last workplace? And you want someone to answer that question, taking responsibility for any role they had. And the minute they start to absolutely trash other team members, old bosses, old workplaces, that's a huge red flag that they don't have a high EQ. They don't have a high emotional quotient. And so they are likely going to be troublemakers within your organization. How about what additional skills did you learn in your last workplace? You want someone that's been on a learning journey that can adapt and change with the times and learn new skills as they're needed. How punctual were you at your last workplace? How often did you run late for work? That's a question that regardless of the answer, you're going to write that one down. And then you're going to cross-check it with their reference after this in-person interview is over. What do you like most about your role? So not so much your role at your last workplace, but just about dental assisting, just about being a dental receptionist. What do you love about it? And if it's a dental assistant, they might say, I love caring for patients. I love doing all I can to make sure the dentist can get that work done really quickly. They're all really good, positive answers. What do you like least about your role? This is a tricky one for people to answer because it does reveal a little bit about their personality profile within that answer. So what do you like least about your role? If they said to you, I hate being told what to do all the time, and they're a dental assistant and part of their role is doing what's requested all the time, it might be an indicator of how well they're going to fit in with your team. However, if they say, what do I like least about my role? I really don't like it when patients get angry and upset. I find it difficult to manage those sort of people. Great. That's a perfectly reasonable thing to not like about your role. And it also provides a little bit of an insight about how this person functions. Thinking about your previous workplaces, which was the best in terms of team harmony? What worked well there, do you think? How about this one? Thinking about your previous workplaces, think of one that had a problem with team harmony. Why did that not work well? Question number 9. How do you think a conflict could be resolved between two team members? Again, that lends itself towards what their emotional maturity is. If you were to tell a trainee dental assistant that she is leaving debris behind on instruments and needs to improve in this area, how would you go about it? Does she have empathy? Is she a bit of a cheerleader? Is she a good guide and mentor to younger people? Or is she a bit too harsh? You know, you needn't do that properly, and we've got systems here, and you just have to abide by them. Number 11, if a patient complained about the service, how would you manage it? These are questions that are designed to have that candidate reflect and tell you an authentic answer. It's difficult to fake it through many of these questions, and you get to have a very clear snapshot of who this person is after you finish moving through these 15 questions. Tell me about a time when someone criticized your work. What was your response and assessment of the situation? Question 13, describe any career goals that you have for the future. You want to make sure that long term, your practice is going to be able to provide the kind of environment this person wants. Often has been the case where I've been involved in the employment of a dental assistant, and then within just a few weeks, they were talking about how they had aspirations of getting into dental hygiene, and they'd actually submitted their application to get into uni already. And you go, oh, could have been helpful to know that at the interview stage. Number 14, what benefits are you hoping to enjoy with this new role? I'm hoping that I, you know, move into such a happy team of supportive people that I have got the ability to shine, that I can learn new things all the time. And then the 15th question, what drawbacks would you like to avoid by leaving your last place? I'd like to leave the gossiping and the backstabbing, and I'm really looking forward to being alleviated from all of those pressures. So, given your responses in the positive, neutral, and negative columns will tell you whether they move through to the next stage of your recruitment process, which is reference checking. And the reference checking questions are coming up next back to the PowerPoint. Now, quite often, reference checking telephone calls can be very short and sweet, but with this list of questions, they will likely be longer to a 15, 20 minute chat over the phone. Number one, check that the details of their employment were correct, so that they stated correctly how long they're at these places and the responsibilities that they had. Sometimes you can embellish a resume and say, I've got heaps of reception experience, where actually you hardly had any. And so double check, are these the responsibilities this person had at your clinic? Oh yeah, they did answer the phone every now and again, but it wasn't one of their key responsibilities. That was only rare. Ask, what was it like to work with this candidate? And just let them share. Number three, ask the cross-check questions for honesty. So without letting them know what the answers the candidate gave, say, how punctual was this candidate? Did they turn up to work every day generally? And if they ran late, how often were they running late? Make sure there were honest answers given to you during the in-person interview. Number four, did the candidate get along well with team members? How did the candidate respond if ever given feedback, positively, negative, about their performance? That's another cross-check question, because they were asked that during the in-person interview as well. They said that they responded beautifully, but maybe the previous employer felt that it wasn't as positive. Number six, was the candidate an effective communicator and relationship builder with patients? Could you delegate tasks to this person and have them completed successfully? Or did they kind of drop the ball, or took ages to get that task done, or tried to palm it off onto somebody else? Number eight, are they open to learning new things? Again, quite often the answer you get in person can be quite different from the answer that a previous employer would give. Are they a slow or quick learner? Were they caring and empathetic with patients and co-workers? Get their version and observer's version of what those characteristics were like in this candidate. And the final and important question that you ask a reference check is, if you had a position open, would you hire this person again? And people have been honest with me when I've asked that question. It's either a definite absolutely, or it's a, oh, it would depend. We don't have any positions open now. And they try to avoid answering it with a no. Okay, we're going back to the six opportunities to gather data, the six steps to our recruitment process that we're filtering people through. We've gone through resume, telephone interview, online personality profile, in-person interview, reference checks. Now we're up to the final step, the final in-person interview. And so if someone has moved through, if a candidate has moved through each one of these steps, they're down to here. You've double check the reference checks. Everything is looking fantastic. And now we've got one more in-person interview before we offer anyone the job. And that final in-person interview is a key step. Don't offer them the job yet. There's one more step to go. Now you're thrilled with this candidate. It's always ideal that you've made them aware of what your process is at the end of each last step. So when they leave the in-person interview, leave them with the knowledge that you are going to be calling their references. And if happy, then they will progress through to the final stage, which is the final in-person interview. What the purpose of this interview is crucial. It is to determine consistency in character. I can't tell you how often I've been absolutely impressed with somebody in interview number one, and they have presented quite a different character in interview number two. It's not as long, up to 30 minutes. It could be 10 minutes. It's not as long. It could be anywhere from 10 minutes on. And what you're wanting to do is to clarify the practice expectations. So just to clarify, with this role, this is your list of responsibilities. These will be your hours. These will be the days off. Clarify practice expectations. Ask the candidate if they've had any concerns or questions or points to raise since their in-person interview, and discuss those to whatever length they need to satisfy those concerns. And ask the next couple of questions. If you were to hire this candidate, do they require any time off in coming months? That's a big question. Quite often people say, I actually have a two-week holiday planned in 3 months that I'd need time off for. Important information for you. If you were to hire this candidate, when would they be available to start? Usually contracts have anywhere between 1 and 4 weeks notice that needs to be given. Maybe they've got a contract that requires 2 months. You just never know. So ask that question as well. Also, I do suggest you organize 2 half-day trials. Again, just so you can see someone in action. 2 half-day trials can give all of your team members a chance to get to know this person a little bit and have that person get to know everybody else as well and actually work in the environment. And you're even more sure that this is the right candidate for us, or no, I'm not quite sure is going to work out. Remember, one of our lessons early on in this program was hire slow, fire fast. It avoids you having to fire fast at all if your slow hiring process is weeding out anyone that's not going to be appropriate within your organization. So there we go. Next week, we're talking about onboarding your new team member. You've just about hired them, so the onboarding process. I hope this has been helpful for you. I know it's gone long. It was a lot of information. I quite possibly should have been splitting that episode in two, but you can watch it over 2 separate sessions since it is a recording. I hope that Excel document, the JPPS Hire Guide, and interview questions will be helpful for you as well. Until next time, I look forward to speaking with you then, and good luck with your hiring process. Good luck with your teams, and I shall see you next Wednesday. See you later.